If you have a Bible this morning, you'll find our text in the book of Revelations this morning. Book of Revelations. We thank the Lord for the privilege to have been here again these days. And we thank the Lord of all that has transpired, and all that God has said, both seen and unseen. I'm convinced that He's saying a lot more that we can't see than what we can see. And I thank Him for that. Appreciate all the good music, and appreciate the Hollises, appreciate Billy and Regina. They're such wonderful host and hostess. We thank the Lord for their kindness, and thank the Lord for Benson Grove and what it's doing here beside the road. We thank the Lord for it. We have been, since Sunday morning, want to bring a concluding thought. We've been looking at the face of Jesus. One of His paramount characteristics, probably one of the most mentioned characteristics of Jesus in all the Bible. And we've been preaching on the subject of face to face. What will it be? Seeing His face before we see His face. If you're like me, you got more days behind you than you got in front of you. You know it won't be long before you'll be faced up with Him. And I'm interested in what I'm up against. I want to see what His face is like. On Sunday morning, we looked at the revealed face of Christ. I feel confident of it. I won't change my mind. I believe salvation is not a decision one makes. I believe hell will be full of people that made decisions, prayed prayers, got dunked in baptismal pools. Salvation is a revelation. Paul said, God commanded the light to shine out of darkness, shine in my heart, and then he prayed. It wasn't a prayer caused the burst of light. The burst of light caused the prayer. Amen. There must have been an awakening. You can't get dead people to do anything. You hath he quickened, dead and trespasses and sin. Revealed face. We looked on Sunday evening at the resolved face. He set his face. He knew all what Jerusalem held for him, but he fixed his heart, he set his face. And then we looked at the radiant face of Christ. His face lit up on the Mount of Transfiguration. Wasn't his abiding presence. Oh no, we're always satisfied with that. But it was the manifested presence of God. That's what we need in this hour. And then yesterday, I appreciate the Lord helping us as we looked at the redeemed face. We looked at His face while He was dying on Calvary Street. Now this morning, Revelations chapter 6, we'll begin here. And look at the reigning face of Christ. I have heard often that when Jesus was here on the earth, He was a prophet. He went back to heaven, now He's a priest. And one day He'll come and He'll be a king. I don't believe a word of it. I believe He's always been a prophet. I believe He's always been a priest. And He ain't never give up His kingship. He's always been a king. And His face has always ruled and reigned. We begin to unpack this reigning face. I'm drawn in chapter 6 to the separation from this face. There is a separation desire. Can you imagine that there will be people that will desire to not see that face? Bible tells us clearly in verse 15, and the kings of the earth, the great men, the rich men, the chief captains, the mighty men, and every bondman and every free man. And that's a wide audience there. You big time folks, you baby killers, ones that have orchestrated it. They've ruled and reigned in America. They have run the show. Bible says they'll hide themselves in dens and rocks of the mountains.
You imagine trying to hide from God. They're going to do it. They're going to do it. And say to the mountains, you imagine going up in the Smoky Mountains, getting up in front of one of those mountains and said, fall on us. Hide us from what? The face of him that sitteth upon a throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. They want to be hid from the Lamb who is angry. The mad Lamb. The disgusted Lamb. Oh, to know the loving Lamb. Oh, how this Lamb has always reached out with extended arms. He has always beckoned us to come. But now he is extremely angry. Violently angry. He's snorting angry. And they're trying to hide from what? His face. There is a separation desired. But I notice in Revelation chapter number 20, there is a separation demanded. He says, you want to hide from my face? Let me fix that up for you. He said, let me fix it up where you won't ever see my face. Ever again. The Bible says on verse number 11 of chapter number 20, and I saw a great white throne. And he's sitting on the throne now. Sound like a king. Him that sat upon it, from whose face the earth, the heaven, everything temporal, not anything eternal, everything temporal is trying to flee. Get away from that face. And there was no where found, no place. There was no place to hide. The Bible tells us in verse number 15, whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Here, they have desired to hide from his face. Now he demands it. He says, depart from me, you workers of iniquity, for I knew you and forgot you. Oh, no. He said, I never knew you. You ever wondered why the rich man and Lazarus story, that the rich man ain't ever given a name? Because God didn't know him. If you lost this morning up there, you just whatchamacallit. You have no name. Oh, the reigning face of the angry Lamb. I don't know about you. I bless the day that I met him as the Lamb of God that took away my sin. Songwriter said it well when he said, hallelujah to the Lamb, hallelujah to the Lamb that was slain upon a tree. By his stripes we are healed, by his blood we are sealed. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. I'm glad I do not want to get away from that face. I do not want to hide. I'm talking about the separation from that face. You have the Bible there this morning. 2 Chronicles, if you would. 2 Chronicles, that's that book that stuck together because you had never been there in a long time. It's the one you skip during your Bible reading because it's got all of those names in there that you have to say elephant when you get to them because you can't pronounce them. And you wouldn't dare get an app on your phone and it tell you how to pronounce them. That'd be something crazy to do that. 2 Chronicles chapter 7, not only the separation from this face, but the seeking for this face. He says in verse 14, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves, pray, and seek my hand, turn from their wickedness. Wow. Is that what your Bible says? It doesn't even say hand in the Living Bible. But it does say face. Most of our prayers today is wanting God to do something. If we'll ever see God do something, it'll be because we quit asking His hand. Most Baptist churches Wednesday night, you could do away with them for my permission. Most of them are nothing more than an organ recital. What? Organ recital. We're going to name all the body parts before we leave. Going to pray for my neck, going to pray for my back, going to pray for my gallbladder. You'll ever find anybody in the New Testament in the age of grace praying for any body parts. Talk about, oh, I want to go to heaven, and then the doctor tells you you're going, whoo. Seek my face. Turn from their wicked ways. Then, and only then, the language seems to indicate, will I hear from heaven, forgive their sin, and heal their land. What kind of people seek after God? Romans tells us no man seeks after God unless God puts seek in the heart. Who seeks after Him? The only people that seek after Him is His people. If my people, I know I've heard them on the news say, you're in my prayers. What kind of prayers? You believe in killing babies and everything else? What kind of prayers are you in? Because the only prayers that He hears is the prayers of His people. Amen. He says, with His name, He says, they're humble people. He says they're praying people, they're seeking people, they're panting after Him. There are people that don't want His hand, but they do want His face. These are the people that hear from Him. I wonder today if you would have to admit that most of your prayers about a hand. I can remember a day when I had no desire for Him at all. His face or His hand. It didn't even cross my mind to seek Him unless I was in a jam and I needed a rabbit's foot. Years I spent in vanity and pride, caring not my Lord was crucified, knowing not it was for me He died. Since 1968, the only thing I can do now is trust Him, seek Him, acknowledge Him in all my ways. Don't lean to my own understanding. I need His face. I don't need His hand as much as I need His face. Oh, in these last days, in anticipation, we're going to soon see His face. Instead of seeking His hand, seek His face. Seeking for the face. Separation from the face. Got the Bible there? Psalms number 40. Could I mention the security in His face? Why in the world would I want to seek His face for, not His hand? Notice the security in this face. He says in Psalms 41, excuse me, not 40, 41, verse 12, and as for me, David speaking now, he's talked about his sin in this chapter, and as for me, thou upholdest me in my integrity, and settest me before thy face when you get a chance. He said, if you belong to me, I have set you. The little word set means in a fixed, established position whereof I give you my undivided attention. He says, I'm only looking at you. He says, I've got my eyes on you constantly. I don't know. I'm not going to speak for you, but he's about convinced me I'm his only child. Some of you looking at me like he'd been telling you that too. Because he told David, he said, David, you're the only one I'm looking at. I got my eye on you. He said, you're the apple of my eye. He says, I got you fixed on my eyeball. Look in somebody's eyeball sometimes, see what you see. I tell you what you see yourself. It's a mirror, a reflection. Why would I want to seek his face? He's got his face towards me. Well, what are you looking at when you see David? He says in verse 12, and as for me, thou upholdest me in my... What? That's an interesting word. Complete, perfect, no violations, no sins, never done anything wrong. Wow. He said, David, when I see you, he said, I cannot see not one blemish in you at all. Oh, I tell that to people almost every week in a meeting, that all his sins are gone. He ain't hid them some way. He ain't put them behind his back. They're gone. There's Old Testament stuff, all that stuff, putting them in the sea and behind his back. That's a covering. We get in the New Testament propitiation. He's expiated them. They're gone. The blood took them out. I often thought about that Cowper song, there's a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins. Sinners plunge beneath that, lose all their guilty state. I always thought about it. He just immersed me in that blood and it took me out. I don't believe that no more. I believe he stuck me in that blood and left me there. And it just keeps on washing me whiter than snow. I remember the first time that dawned on me in my study. On a University of Georgia campus, I did not do this. Most Baptists, when I tell them at night, they do this. I like to tore the study apart. Of course, I know why you don't get too excited about it, because you ain't never done too much wrong. You only ever done one or two things wrong. Would it be worth bringing it up? But I'd been stacking them. To know this morning before his face, I stand perfect. He cannot see anything that I have ever done wrong. He can't see anything I'm doing wrong, and he can't see anything I'm going. You say, if I believe that, I'd do whatever I wanted to. No, if you believe that, you'd run from sin like a dog running from scalding water. Because he has nowhere to impute your sin. Paul told us in Romans, he'll not impute sin to a righteous man. The only account I've got in heaven is his account. So when I see it, he's confessing it to the Father while I'm doing it. Because he has nowhere to impute it. Security in this face. If you have your Bible this morning, Psalm 17. The separation from this face, seeking for this face, the security in this face. Can I mention the sight of this face? Psalm 17, there is the anticipation of a sighting. David says in verse 15, as for me, I will behold thy face in righteousness. He talks about when he awakes. Sleep has always and often been called by Jesus, going to sleep. When I awake, What am I going to look like? David said, I'm going to look like you, Lord, with thy likeness, with thy reflection. A little word likeness, any embodiment or a manifestation or a perfect reflection of the real thing. When I awake, he says, I shall be satisfied. Be filled for all time, fullness, stuffed forever. Amen. Wow. Anticipation. Amen. May we spend our last days. I don't know how many days you got left. Remember, for me, more behind me than in front of me. May I spend my last days not seeking his hand. May I spend my last days seeking his face. Are you sure that image has been stamped upon your soul, heart, the herald angel sings, Adam's likeness now efface, stamp thine own image. When we see him, he's going to be looking for his reflection, his face. If he doesn't see it, you're in trouble. You're in trouble. Are you actually passionately seeking to enhance and display that face by studying his word? Picture of your relationship with God this morning is pictured in your relationship with this book. Notice a lot of you don't even have a Bible with you. Know what your relationship with it is? Anticipation of a sighting. Last of all this morning, Revelations chapter 22. An assurance of the sighting. Isn't it amazing that in the last verses of the Bible that our Lord would assure us of what? A sighting. Sighting what? You be the judge. Verse 4, and they shall, not a possibility, not a hope so. This little phrase is a little phrase that is a phrase of legality, and they shall. It is a term of one who has made a will out, and he has willed it to be. Our Lord wrote out a last will and testament. This was part of it. Of course, if you know anything about a will, it's been written out. The only way it can be enacted is that the willer must die. Well, he did. Of course, if you have a will and you die, don't mean they're going to do with your junk what you wrote down. Unless you got a good power of attorney, make sure it's carried out. Well, he wrote the will down, and in a part of the will, he willed, and they shall see my face. Well, he died. And he raised himself from the dead, and now he's the power of attorney, and he is assuring it, it's going to happen. There's going to be a sighting. Every redeemed person will have that sighting. They shall see his face. Oh, it's much bigger than that. He says, in his name. It's an interesting thought, his name. He tells us in the beginning of Revelations that we shall have a new name. Written on a white stone. I studied that little phrase, new name. The little phrase in the original has the idea of a pet name, nickname. Do you know that God has a nickname for every one of you if you're redeemed this morning? It's a different one for every one of us. He shall use that name when he speaks to you. It's a new name. But he says here, he says, we shall see his face, and his name shall be in their foreheads. When I first studied it, what are you going to do, tattoo our name across the forehead? Everybody walking around in here with Jesus. Oh, no. The word name here, it has to do with the entirety of another. Their interest, their pleasures, their deeds, their thoughts, their authorities, literally this encompassing everything that is him will be me when I see that face. I don't know about you. That makes me want to see these words loud and clear with assurance. There is a land that is fairer than day. And by faith we can see it afar. It will be worth it all when we see Jesus. Life's trials will seem so small when we see Christ. One glimpse of his dear face, all sorrows will erase. So bravely run the race till we see Christ. How in this world will all of that transpire? Sky shall enfold, preparing his entrance. The stars shall applaud, thunders of praise. Sweet light in his eyes shall enhance those awaiting, and we shall behold him face to face. The angels shall sound the shout of the coming. The sleeping shall arise from their slumbering place. And those who remain shall be changed in a moment. And we shall behold him. Yes, we shall behold him face to face in all his glory. We shall behold him. We shall behold him face to face. Our Savior and our Lord. Been seeking his face lately? Deep theological question. Leave you with. Have you seen his face lately, preacher?